And we are back. Welcome back to the Depressed Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am Jesse Mapati, and guys, I'm really happy right now. I'm not depressed, even though it's currently snowing right now, but we're having a dusting of inch or whatever, a dusting to an inch right now in Ohio, but people are treating this weather like it's a blizzard. But anyways, it's a good time to be a Cincinnati sports fan, especially a Cincinnati Bengal fan. Yes, the Cincinnati Bengals are AFC North Division champions. Moment of silence for this awesome moment. Woo! Wow. Guys, I can't believe it. It's the Bengals' first division title since 2015. Their first double-digit win season since 2015. The Bengals upset of the Kansas City Chiefs 34-31 last Sunday in a classic at Paul Brown Stadium. I was at the game, and after the game, I sat down, and I was just like, this was the most significant regular season victory at home in franchise history. Some of you are saying, well, franchise history, Jesse, 54 years, and you're saying that this game last Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs, who, by the way, came into this game winners of 8 in a row. Everyone has this team projected as to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Yes. This win last Sunday was so huge because it was a win and you win the division scenario for the Bengals. I mean, that's as big as it gets. So, wow. Like I said, I was at the game, and honestly, this was probably the best Bengals game I've been to at Paul Brown Stadium. Also, guys, I will be at the Bengals' first playoff game next week, just letting you all know. So, anyways, in this game, the Bengals trailed Patrick Mahomes in a high-flying offense and an improved defense during their winning streak. They trailed 14-0, and they trailed 28-14. This team was able to rally behind two 14-point deficits in this game. Like, I was just like, wow. And I was there to witness that. Like, and I'll admit, you guys, that during this game, I was like, this is, as you see throughout the Bengals season, especially at home, they've gotten blown out against the Browns, against the Chargers. Well, the Chargers game was close when the Bengals were getting blown out in the first half, came back, and then the Chargers were able to put the Bengals away. And for some reason, the Bengals have allowed 41 points in those losses at home to the Browns and to the Chargers. I feel like I'm missing one more game. Am I? Well, I'm tripping right now. Anyways, but I'm just saying, like, the way the Kansas City Chiefs offense was just rolling the first half, I had a feeling that this could be a blowout by halftime. But shout out to the Bengals offense for keeping pace with that Kansas City Chiefs offense. And the Bengals were only down 28-17 at half. You're saying, only 28-17. Yes, the Bengals are thankful that they're only down by 11 at halftime. But you can thank the Bengals offense for keeping pace, but you can thank the Bengals defense for holding that Chiefs offense to only 3 points. 3 points in the second half. So, all-around team victory, unbelievable win, and wow, still in cloud nine that the Bengals are AFC North champions. Here are my highlights of the game. Ja'Marr Chase, you know, the rookie receiver out of LSU, you know, the guy that everyone was crying about, saying, oh, why we drop this guy to always drop passes during the preseason? We should have drafted the offensive lineman, blah, 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 blah. Ja'Marr Chase had the best rookie receiver day in NFL history. 11 receptions for 266 yards. Yes, 266 yards and 3 touchdowns. First touchdown went 72 yards. Burrow threw a pass to Chase, made a move, made a cut, and then he just took off at a speed where it looked like he was, if he was running the 40 and he was getting clocked, it looked like he was going 4.3. Like, he there was 6 defenders chasing after Chase, and they couldn't chase him down. Haha. Like, I was at the game and I saw that and I was like, whoa, he just turned another gear. And I was like, wait a minute, what? And then he had an 18-yard touchdown reception. And then to begin the second half, the Bengals got the ball down 11. Burrow found Chase down the left-hand sideline for a 69-yard touchdown reception. Nobody was guarding him. Nobody. And he easily went to the end zone. Whew. What a game. What a historic game by wide receiver number one, Ja'Marr Chase. Unbelievable. And his quarterback, QB1, Joe Burrow. Another great day. Coming off his 525-yard passing yard game against the Baltimore Ravens last week. This guy had another encore performance. 30 for 39, 446 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Unbelievable. Joe Burrow, this guy is coming off major knee surgery, tore both his ACL and MCL last year. And everybody thought that he wasn't going to be the same when it comes to his knee injury. It doesn't look like he was hurt. Joe Burrow should win Comeback Player of the Year. And Joe Burrow should be an MVP finalist. Period. And he is the best quarterback in the AFC North. And it's not even close. And he is definitely a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. Yes, Joe Burrow is fucking elite. Wow. And like I said about the Bengals defense in this game. Allowed 28 in the first half. 3 points in the second half. Offense did well. 475 total yards. And here's the thing. Here's the key. And here's the reason why the Bengals have won 10 games this year. When they win games, they do not turn the ball over. Bengals did not turn the ball over at all in this game. That's the key. If this team doesn't turn the ball over, they win the game. They had 0 turnovers in this game. That's the key. If the Bengals want to go deep in the playoffs, they can't have turnovers. I can give them 1 turnover, but that's it. If they have more than 1 turnover, it's going to be tough for them to win. Now, in this game, right, the score is 28-28 with about, say, 3 minutes left. The Bengals driving the ball. Burrow gets sacked on first down. Incomplete pass on second down. The Bengals were looking at a 3rd and 27. Now, I'm at the game. And I'm saying to myself, just get at least 15 yards so you can make it an easy, well, a manageable field goal attempt for rookie kicker Evan McPherson, all right? You just need 15 yards. So Joe Burrow drops back the pass. 2 drops, all right? Throws it. And all I see is Ja'Marr Chase one-on-one. For whatever reason, the Chiefs continue to play man-to-man on Ja'Marr Chase. And I'm like, do you realize this guy is kicking you guys' asses? But when I saw Ja'Marr Chase makes that just an outstanding catch, Bengals needed 27 yards. They got 30 on that play. I looked to my buddy, and I just said, holy shit. That's what I said. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is just incredible. 3rd and 27. This shit never happens when it comes to Cincinnati sports teams. Impossible. The Bengals, they converted 3rd and 27. I don't think you guys realize how significant that was. I just wanted 15 yards so Evan can have a manageable field goal attempt. But the Bengals got a first down of that. 30 yards. Burrow to Chase. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Wow. I think with this team and how bright the future is, we're definitely going to look back at this game as the start of something really special. And we're going to look back at 3rd and 27. Unbelievable. Now, I think you guys want to talk about the wild sequence at the end of the game. From my perspective, because I was at Paul Brown Stadium. So, 3rd and inches, about the 2-yard line, okay? Mixon got the first down, all right? 1st and goal, Bengals. 2-minute warning. I'm thinking, okay, score the touchdown. You give Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense, what, under 1 minute left to score a touchdown? I'm okay with that. So, the Bengals tried two quarterback sneaks with Burrow, unsuccessful. I'm like, okay, third and goal. I'm like, run the damn ball to Joe Mixon. They didn't get it. So, fourth and goal. Chiefs already called all the timeouts, so hopefully they can give the offense the ball back with a chance to either tie or take the lead. So, in my head, I'm thinking, kick the damn field goal. Run out Evan McPherson. But head coach Zach Taylor's like, now, we're going to go for the touchdown. And when I saw Joe Burrow in the offense stay on the field, I was like, Lord have mercy. They're really, wow, they're doing it. And my anxiety was already up, and I was already, like, about to freak out. And when I saw the offense remain on the field, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a heart attack. Like, wow. So, Joe Burrow drops back the pass. He was trying to look for Jamar Chase on the right-hand corner. That should have been a penalty because he was grabbed before 5 yards, okay? So, Joe Burrow was dropping back the pass, trying to look for somebody. Found Mixon. And Mixon definitely crossed the plane. And I'm thinking, touchdown. And I saw the flag. And I'm like, oh, shit. It's going to be a holding on us. We really just fucked this up. Thankfully, there was a penalty on the Bengals and the Chiefs. So that offset it. Redo fourth down. I'm thinking to myself, kick the field goal now, Zach. No. We're going to go for it again. And I'm just like in my seat. I sat down for a couple of seconds. I was like, all right. Yeah. Everybody in the stadium was like, kick the fucking field goal, Zach. I lost my voice when I was just yelling, get McPherson out there. So Joe Burrow in the offense was shotgun formation. Burrow dropped back the pass. Here comes pressure. Tried to throw the ball to Tyler Boyd. Incomplete. But I saw yellow. And it was in the end zone. So in my head, I'm thinking that's a penalty on the Chiefs. And it was illegal hands to the face on the Chiefs. That's a 5-yard penalty. Doesn't matter because they're on the like 1-yard line. That's an automatic first down. And Joe Burrow got back up, started limping to the sideline. And I'm thinking, okay, this is, okay, what in the hell? So the Chiefs had no timeout. So Brandon Allen came. He just had to kneel the ball twice because the Chiefs had no timeouts. We run down the clock to about 2 seconds. McPherson hits the walk-off field goal, and the Bengals are AFC North division champions. That was a crazy, crazy sequence. Like, that took at least a half hour of my life. So, Zach Taylor got lucky right there. And I understand why he wanted to go for the touchdown. I totally get it. But when they have fourth and goal for the second time, kick the field goal. I understand the first time. The second time, I was just like, you just got to kick the field goal because you can't take no chances. And there's a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans on social media blaming the refs. And I'm like, there's video evidence that the Chiefs, those penalties were, they were the right call. They committed those penalties, but it just started because they lost the game. It's not my fault you guys blew 2 14-point leads. It's not our fault. So, yeah, that was a wild sequence. And I still can't believe the Bengals won that game. Really can't, because I had this game before the season started. I did a podcast, and I was previewing the season, and I was going through game by game, predicting every game. And I had this game as a W, and a lot of people were laughing at me. And who's laughing now? Still can't believe I said 11-6. So three years ago, this team had 2 wins, okay? 2. And they had players requesting trades, and the locker room had a bunch of issues. After the game, the team was celebrating, smoking cigars, dancing in the locker room after clinching the AFC North. Isn't that crazy? 3 years ago, this team only had 2 wins. And I was just like, the Cincinnati Bengals are a dumpster fire under Mike Brown. And I was just like, this is a shit show. And you hired Zach Taylor? Right. I'm like, this is going to end well. Look at the Bengals now. AFC North champions in year three of Zach Taylor. And the future is very bright for this team. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Back to Ja'Marr Chase, okay? So, most receiving yards by a rookie in NFL history. Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings, who also was former teammates with Ja'Marr Chase in LSU. Last year, his rookie year, he had 1,400 yards receiving. That was number one. Enter Ja'Marr Chase. This year, he's already passed Justin Jefferson with 1,429. That's pretty crazy. That's crazy that both LSU stars are 1 and 2 when it comes to most receiving yards by a rookie in NFL history. So Chase's 266 yards of receiving is a Bengals and a rookie single game record. And like I said, every time I talk to you guys about stats, I always use Pro Football Focus. Ja'Marr Chase had a Pro Football Focus grade of 91.5, best in the NFL for week 17. This season as a whole, Ja'Marr Chase has 79 receptions for 1,429 yards, 13 touchdowns. Just an unreal season by Ja'Marr Chase. Did I see this coming? I mean, I knew he had talent, but with the drops and all the doubts the Bengals fans were saying and the media was saying, like, oh boy, the Bengals should have gone off the lineman. I don't think any of us saw this coming from Ja'Marr Chase, especially in his rookie year. So there's something between him and Joe Burrow. That connection they had in college, it's already translated to NFL in year one with Burrow and Chase together in NFL. That's wild. That's just crazy. Speaking of QB1, Joe Burrow, okay? Joe Burrow is the first player in NFL history with back-to-back 400 yards, 4 touchdowns, no pick games. That's crazy. He leads the NFL in completion percentage, 70.4% in yards per attempt with 8.9. That's wild when you factor that he's taken a league-leading 51 sacks this year. This guy needs a line. The Bengals have to really focus on that during this offseason and during the NFL draft. Get this man some help. If Joe Burrow has at least a decent offensive line, he's going to win MVP next year. Yes, I said it. And like I said earlier, he should be an MVP finalist, but if he gets a decent offensive line, he's winning MVP next year. Okay? He really is. Here's Joe Burrow's numbers since week 11. You ready for this? He has 2,114 passing yards, 14 touchdowns to only 3 interceptions. That's a 73.1% completion percentage, 9.03 yards per attempt, and 9.6 off-target throws. That all leads the NFL during that span. And also, by the way, he has 971 passing yards the last 2 weeks. Jesus. That's incredible. Like, that's the reason why the Bengals drafted Joe Burrow. We call him Joey Franchise. We call him Joey Franchise for a reason. That's incredible. That's, whew, still in awe of that stat. 971 passing yards in the last 2 weeks. Whew, that's crazy. Also, the most underrated stat of the Bengals' victory over the Chiefs last Sunday is cornerback Chinedu Awuzie, okay? He drew Kansas City wide receiver Tyreek Hill, who is probably the fastest receiver in the league. So, Hill was targeted by Patrick Mahomes 8 times against Awuzie. Awuzie only gave up 31 yards and 2 first downs and a long of 8 yards. He made 9 tackles without a miss, 4 for offensive failure. That's crazy. Chinedu Awuzie has been one of the best pickups of the Bengals offseason. I think Trey Henderson is number one. You go Awuzie number two. And then Mike Hilton 2B. The 2A, 2B. Like, Awuzie did a great job. And the Bengals defense as a whole during the second half handled Mahomes and company. So, way to go. Way to go, Chinedu. Such a big pickup. And the Bengals, just looking at the offseason acquisitions, they did it. I give the organization credit. And Duke Tobin, Mike Brown, the Blackburns, they did their job. And this is the reason why the Bengals are 10-6 and AFC North champs and get the chance to host a playoff game. Crazy. Back to Zach Taylor, and I've been very critical of the Bengals head coach, okay? Very critical. I think during the podcast, during this season, I think I have mentioned how much I don't think Zach Taylor is the right guy to coach this type of team when it comes to this team has Super Bowl aspirations in the future. Future is now. But I have to give Zach Taylor credit. His first two seasons, he was 6-25-1. 2-10 in the AFC North. This year, this is year three under Zach Taylor. The Bengals are 10-6. The Bengals are 4-1 in the AFC North. And the Bengals have won, are now AFC North champs. He never quit, never showed weakness, and I respect that. I know it's not the time to criticize Zach Taylor saying, well, he's not the guy. Yeah. I'm still on the fence, but I have to give him credit. He's done a damn good job, and I believe he should win Coach of the Year in the NFL. I think he should. Other than me, I don't feel like anybody thought this Bengals team was going to win 10 or 11 games. People had the Bengals at 7 wins, 8 wins. But Zach Taylor did he's done a great job. And I know people are saying, well, the roster won him those games. Yeah. Bengals have a talented roster, yes. You can say that these wins this year, they won because of the talent they have. But you got to give Zach Taylor credit when it comes to holding down the locker room. And also, I realized that he's a great in-game decision maker. When it comes to play calling, it's very iffy with Zach Taylor. But I don't want to criticize the man. He's done a great job. He should be Coach of the Year in the NFL. And he was very emotional after the game in his presser. And I went back and looked at all the pressers his first two seasons. And he just kept reiterating to the media, like, We're going to get this right. It's going to come. We just have to be patient. And look at the Bengals now. All those patience it's worked off. So, good for Zach Taylor. Good for him. He deserves the credit. He really does. Also, we haven't talked about Joe Mixon. I know he only had 45 yards rushing, but with that, for the whole season, he has 1,205 rushing yards. His previous high was 1,168 rushing yards. That was back in 2018. Also this year, he has 13 rushing touchdowns. What a year for Joe Mixon. What a year. Also, let's get back to Ja'Marr Chase. Do you want to see the awards Ja'Marr Chase has that he has in his, what do you call that? Where you hang up your awards. Lord have mercy, I'm drawing a blank right now. Anyways, he has so many awards that he can just lock it up. He can just put around his house and stuff. Lord have mercy. You guys are going to just ridicule me because I'm trying to figure out a word case, you know? You can just hang up your words. Anyways, Chase has a bunch of those, okay? So, he's a two-time AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Got that in Week 7 and also Week 17 this past week. He's a four-time Rookie of the Week. That was back in Week 1, 5, 6, and 7. And he's also a two-time Nickelodeon Most Valuable Player. He had it in Week 7, and he had it this past week as well. And also, he is your Offensive Rookie of the Year. Yes, Ja'Marr Chase better win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now, I don't want to hear anything about Mac Jones. This game he had against the Kansas City Chiefs, that should wrap up the Offensive Rookie of the Year award to Ja'Marr Chase, period. If not, I'm going to fight somebody. So, he deserves that award. So, what a long list of awards Ja'Marr Chase has had. So, the Bengals have one more game left, and that is against the Cleveland Browns, who are a mess right now. That game's on Sunday at 1 p.m. on Fox. It's in Cleveland. Currently, the Bengals are the third seed in the AFC. It's a lot going on in this game because right now the Bengals are playing for seedings. They can either be the 1, 2, 3, 4 seed. Realistically, the Bengals are going to end up either being the 3 or the 4 seed. Joe Burrow said that he's not playing this week. He's going to rest up for the playoffs. He did say that his knee is okay. If he had to play against the Browns on Sunday, he would. But I'm glad that he's sitting out this game so he can rest up for the wild card game. Joe Mixon is on the COVID list. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Bengals players that are on the COVID list this week. Thankfully, some of those players will be back for the playoff game, and hopefully that will be either Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. They're adding a Monday playoff game, so hopefully the Bengals are playing next weekend. I don't want the Bengals to be playing the playoff game on a fucking Monday where people have to work. Are you kidding me right now? Really? Whoever said that, oh, let's add a Monday game for the wild card game. You're stupid. So hopefully the Bengals are playing next weekend. So the Browns won't have Baker Mayfield because he will have season-ending shoulder surgery. The Browns are a mess. Everyone thought the Browns were going to go to Super Bowl this year. I thought the Browns were going to win the AFC North. But they've had injuries in key positions, and it's a mess right now. It's a mess. And also, I'm going to say this once again. Before the season, I said the Bengals were going to finish 11-6. So, I think the Bengals will win this game on Sunday. And my prediction, my bold-ass prediction, will come true. Like, I can't believe I called that. Can't believe that. So, Bengals-Browns Sunday, 1 p.m. And then next week on the podcast, we will preview the Bengals playoff matchup. It'll be at Paul Brown Stadium. And right now, it's looking like it's going to be either the Bengals will play the New England Patriots or the Indianapolis Colts or possibly a rematch with the Los Angeles Chargers, which that would be so... that would be great. Herbert versus Burrow, part 2. I think the Bengals will definitely want revenge on that. So, we'll see. We'll find out Sunday night, the playoff matchups. Okay. Cincinnati Bearcats football. Switching topics now. The Bearcats' magical season came to an end last Friday in the college football playoff semifinals in the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic to the Alabama Crimson Tide. Unfortunately, the Bearcats lost 27-6. From opening kickoff, Bama got the ball, and they basically just imposed their will with running the football. Now, I previewed the game last week on the podcast. I don't think I mentioned once about the Alabama running game, and I'm a dumbass. Because Nick Saban, when you give that guy one of the best college football coach ever, when you give that guy 3 weeks to prepare for a team, I think we all thought that, you know, the Bearcats will have to contain Bryce Young, which they did, but they did not do a good job when it comes to containing the running game of Brian Robinson Jr. That guy had 100 yards rushing in the first quarter. Alabama only passed the ball once in the opening drive, and that connected for a touchdown. The Bearcats' first offensive possession went great. They went down the field, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, the Bearcats are going to score, and I'm thinking, we're going to have a great game. Second down and goal, Ritter went back to pass. He had Pierce open. Then Alabama defender swatted the ball in the line of scrimmage. Third and goal, Ritter came back to Pierce again. It was a little bit high, but Pierce should have caught that. Bearcats set up for a field goal. And, yeah, that was a missed opportunity. And I was just, like, hanging my head. I'm like, this, oh, that's not good. This is not good. But you got to give the credit to the Bearcats defense. They hang around in this game, and they kept this game from being a blowout. So you have to shout out the Bearcats defense for just keeping this game relatively close. It was a close game. Like, yeah, people saying, well, it was 17-3 at halftime. Yeah, we were down by 2 touchdowns, but it wasn't like we were losing 45-3 at half. I think the one what killed the Bearcats before halftime was that touchdown, that long touchdown pass Bryce Young threw to his receiver before halftime to make it 17-3. That was a killer, because if the Bearcats would have went into halftime only down 7, and also they got the ball to begin the second half, I would have been like, wow, we still can win. We can still win this damn football game. But yeah, that was a killer. And I was just, I was in my head, I was thinking, oh no, that's not good. That's not good at all. But like I said, the Bearcats did a good job containing Bryce Young, who won the Heisman Trophy award. He was only 17 for 28, 181 yards passing. He didn't have to pass the ball a lot because the running game was just unstoppable. Alabama, as a team, rushed for 301 yards. So he had 3 touchdown passes, 1 interception. He had 6 rushes for 12 yards. So, I mean, yeah, you'll say, oh, he has 3 touchdowns. But he was getting rattled. The Bearcats did. Bearcats sent pressure on him. Majay Sanders did a great job. Curtis Brooks, Beavers, they all did a great job. That line really made it uncomfortable at times for Bryce Young. Alabama receiver Jameson Williams, he had 7 receptions for 62 yards, but when he was matched up with Sauce Gardner, he had 2 receptions, right, for -2 yards. Sauce won that matchup, hands down. So the Bearcats defense was, they did their job, and they were out there a long time. So eventually, they're going to get tired as the game goes along because the offense kept going 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, and the defense doesn't even have time to rest in the sidelines. So, yeah. Dez's final game, Desmond Ridder, wasn't the best, and that sucks. He was only 17 for 32 for 146 yards passing. Jerome Ford had 15 carries for 77 yards. Brian Cook had that one pick on Bryce Young. That was really cool. And like I said, Sauce, Kobe Bryant, Majay Sanders, they balled out. And NFL scouts was definitely there, and they saw those 3 balled out. So good for them. And good for Cole Smith, Bearcats field goal kicker, who was out pretty much half of the season with an injury. And he comes into this game, in the biggest game in program history, 2 for 2 on field goals. So good for Cole Smith. Freshman punter Mason Fletcher, he had a great game. He had 5 punts, averaged 45.2 punt per yards. Then he had a 54-yard punt. He was great. And there's something about these Aussie kickers. James Smith a couple of years ago, now Mason Fletcher. Bearcats are good hands when it comes to punters. And like I said, the offense didn't really do much. 218 total yards of offense, 2 for 12. On third downs. Yeah, you're not beating Bama with those stats. And Desmond Ridder had no time. Like, it just felt like every snap he was getting pressure in his face. So, yeah. It's unfortunate the way the season ended. And it's unfortunate the way Desmond Ridder's career ended. But that won't take away the unbelievable career the quarterback from UC had. Ridder, 43 wins, third most in college football history, 26-0 at Nippert Stadium. That's such a crazy-ass stat. 12,427 total yards of offense in his career. That's the American Athletic Conference record. 116 total touchdowns, American Athletic Conference record. 2018 Rookie of the Year. 2-time offensive, what is that again? Offensive Player of the Year. 2-time first team all conference. What a career for Desmond Ridder. And I hope he gets a chance to play on Sundays. I think he needs to work on his accuracy, but he can still run the football. And I wish former Bearcats offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock, who after the game accepted the offer to be LSU's next offensive coordinator. Thank God. I know Denbrock has done some good things, but he did say before the game that the Bearcats were going to try something different. Like, try some specialties when it comes to offense. He didn't do that. I feel like the Bearcats play calling from him and the Bearcats offense, I think they played scared. They really did. I think they were definitely intimidated by Bama's just how big and how tall they are. So I think that definitely affected them. But Denbrock is no longer with UC, and hopefully UC will, I think Luke Fickell will definitely find a really solid offensive coordinator. And speaking of Bearcats head coach Fickell, after the game, his presser, he was very emotional, saying that, you know, he wished that things were different, that, you know, he wished that they would have, you know, played better, execute better, etc. And you could tell how much he wanted this. And you could tell how much he loves his team. And I'm so glad that he is the head coach of this university. And it's not the last time the Bearcats will be in the college football playoff. I believe they will be back. Probably won't be next year, but once they head to the Big 12 in the next couple of years, I think the Bearcats will definitely be back in this position. And they'll learn, they'll regroup, and they'll be better for it. So, to all the 30-plus seniors on the team, including Brian Cook, Majay Sanders, even though Sauce Gardner was a junior, Jerome Ford's a junior, Joe DeBlanco is a 6-year senior, all the 30-plus seniors, thank you for your service. Thank you for everything you've done for this university and for this program. Without you guys, the Bearcats would not be in this position at what they're in right now. Who would have thought 5 years ago when Fickell took the reins as the head coach that in 5 years, the Bearcats will make the college football playoff? I didn't. I thought Fickell will have his best team, but I never envisioned a college football playoff berth. So, great year, magical season. I'll never forget it. Yes, we lost to Alabama, but it was still this year. I'll never forget this year. This year was special. And, yeah, us Bearcat fans, we'll never forget this. And this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning for this program. Like I said, we're going to the Big 12 in the next couple of years, so it's not all doom and gloom. It's a bright-ass future, okay? It's a bright-ass future. And as long as Luke Fickell is the head coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats football team, we're in good hands, period. We're in good hands. So I'm going to miss this team. I already miss UC football already, but I can't wait for August to start back up. So great season, man. Great, magical, special season. All right, let's switch topics now. Talk about the Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball team. Team has been off for 10 days, and you can include the Houston game that was a cancellation because of COVID issues inside the Cougars team. UC dropped a big-ass egg in their home conference opener last Saturday, 68-60. To the Tulane Green Wave and Ron Hunter and company. Tulane. Fucking Tulane. Really? I was watching this game last Saturday night. There was no energy, no effort in the first half. It just looked like they just looked dead. And I'm thinking, was it because of the layoff? They had no games, and then the Houston game got canceled? No. There was no, they didn't play good basketball, period. UC was down 25-8 in the first half, and then they were eventually down 48-25 at halftime. That's bad. Wes Miller said after the game, it was just, there was no energy. And I knew, I was watching the game, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, for real? And I know Tulane, previously before this game, they beat Memphis. But still, you're playing your home conference opener. You should not be down by, really. You should not be down by 23 points at halftime against a team coming into the game at 4-6. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. You can't do that. Yes, the team made a run in the second half. They played better. Obviously, you have to play better in the second half. You're down by 23 at halftime. They cut the lead at one point to 63-56 with about a minute left, but too late. Too late. It's already a big of a hole. Jeremiah Davenport led the team with 19 points. Oh, this team has to get better. They have to get better. And I got to keep telling myself that this is just year one under Wes Miller. This is pretty much a rebuilding year. But they have to play better basketball. They have to have more energy and more fight. And their next game is tonight against SMU. That's a 9:30 tip-off on ESPN. So everybody's going to be watching this tonight, Bearcats. And I believe Wes Miller will get his team prepared for this game. SMU comes in 11-3. So this will be a big-ass challenge for the Bearcats. Right now, Vegas has this game. The Bearcats are a 2.5-point favorite. I think the reason why is because they're home. But you saw that. They were 10-point favorites against Tulane last Saturday. You saw that. So I hope this team improves. And with football season over, you're going to be hearing me talk a lot about UC basketball. So get ready. But I had to realize that this team is still a work in progress. It's year one. I have to be patient. But the way they played against Tulane in the first half is unacceptable. I don't care. You can't play like that. Period. Cannot. So I'm hoping for a better result against SMU. And hopefully next week as I do this podcast, we can be talking about a win over SMU. And playing with better effort, energy, and fight. Cincinnati Bearcats basketball way. But so, all right, before this podcast ends, we're going to talk about FC Cincinnati soccer. Yeah, we're going to talk about soccer. So, it's crazy to believe that soccer is about a month and a half away. And FCC released their schedule a couple of weeks ago. Here are the notables. Their first game is at Austin FC. That's on February 26th. That's their first ever trip to Austin, Texas. So that'll be kind of cool for this team. And the home opener is against DC United. That's on March 5th. That's a 6 p.m. start at TQL Stadium. And then the Hell is Real rivalry game between the Columbus Crew. The first game is July 17th at 7:30 p.m. That's in Columbus. And then the second game will be in Cincinnati. That's August 27th at 7:30. That's a Saturday. Those games will be on Saturday. Thank God, because I went to the Hell is Real game last year. That was a Friday game. And I don't know why you put a rivalry game on a Friday. Those rivalry games should be on the weekend, period. So I'm going to be really positive when it comes to FCC. I know in this podcast I've been really on them. But it's not because I don't hate the team. I just don't like how the organization is. They're just run really poorly. And now they have a new GM. They have a new head coach. They're signing new players. So I hope that they can be better than last year. Like they have to be better than last year. You have to win more games at TQL Stadium. You have to have more than 4 wins. Okay? They just have to play better. And if they can do that, then there's hope. There's hope for the future. Okay? The Bengals have a bright future. The Reds are the Reds. Fuck the Reds right now. And then you have UC football on the come up, going to Big 12 soon. UC basketball, even though they're in year one of Wes Miller, it's still a bright future. And then Xavier is in Norwood, so they don't even get talked about in this podcast because fuck them. And then I just hope FCC can get on the train of positiveness when it comes to Cincinnati sports. I really hope so. So I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to be positive when it comes to FCC Cincinnati soccer. And I hope they can turn the ship because this is, what, year 4 in the MLS? They have to be better. They got to be better. And I want them to be better because this is, you know, there's a lot of soccer fans in the city. And FCC fans, they're hella loyal. and they deserve better. And I know the diehards, and I know the Bailey. They're diehards. Psychopaths, but they're diehards, and they deserve a winner. So hopefully this year for FCC Cincinnati Soccer, there can be improvements, and they can be just give us signs of hope. Just give us signs that things are going to turn around. And I hope so. I really hope so, because I want to talk about soccer in this podcast. Really do. So, and I know I do have some FCC fans that do listen to podcasts, and they want me to talk more about soccer, and I will. I just want them to get better and improve and improve and improve. All right, this has been a long-ass podcast, and like I said, it's a great time to be a Cincinnati sports fan, especially the Bengals. So, we got the Bengals and Browns Sunday, 1 p.m. on Fox. UC plays SMU tonight at 9:30 p.m. Crazy tip-off time. What the hell? 9:30 on ESPN. And then the Bengals' first playoff game will either be next Saturday, Sunday, hopefully not Monday. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. And UC football will start back up in August, and FCC begins their first game of the season of 2022 in about a month and a half. So, yeah, we're almost there. And also, Reds baseball spring training is also a month and a half away. But the baseball is still in a lockout, so we'll see how that goes. But want to give time to appreciate all my fans that listen to the podcast. I really do appreciate you guys. Thank you for supporting this podcast. First podcast of 2022, and I can't wait to just continue to just put out more episodes, more content. And also, we're going to have guest speakers on this podcast this year, so get ready for that. All right, you guys stay safe out there, and I will talk to you guys next week. Peace out.